I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. Recently, I have been on a quantum physics kick, and I find that it's very, very exciting that the 2022 Nobel Prize in Physics went to quantum physicists for quantum entanglement. And as I often say on the podcast, I feel that science is still catching up with spirituality. So today I'd like to discuss some theories and evidence from quantum physics and pair that with thoughts. So we're going to discuss quantum physics and thoughts today. And to begin, I'd like to share two bits from this great article I found on scienceabc.com. And the article is, What is the Observer Effect in Quantum Mechanics? Quantum mechanics is the study of how particles at the atomic and subatomic level interact with each other and their environment. The observer effect is the phenomenon in which the act of observation alters the behavior of the particles being observed. This effect is due to the wave-like nature of matter, which means that particles can exist in multiple states simultaneously. When an observer measures a particular property of a particle, they are effectively collapsing the wave function of that particle, causing it to assume a definite state. When you observe something in the world, a tree, a bird, or anything else, you know that regardless of where and when you observe the object, it will always remain the same. However, what if I told you that the time and manner you looked at a particular bird would affect its appearance? It sounds quite absurd, but absurdity is normal when it comes to the bizarre laws of the quantum realm. The laws of quantum mechanics work very differently than the physics of the regular-sized world. So now I'd like to jump down in that article, and I'll be sure to include a link in the episode notes, to a section entitled Observation Affects Reality within the same article. So when a quantum observer is watching, quantum mechanics states that particles can also behave as waves. This can be true for electrons at the submicron level, i.e. at distances measuring less than 1 micron. When behaving as waves, electrons can simultaneously pass through several openings in a barrier and then meet again on the other side. This meeting is known as interference. Now, the most absurd thing about this phenomenon is that it can only occur when no one is observing it. Once an observer begins to watch the particles going through the opening, the obtained image changes dramatically. If a particle can be seen going through one opening, it is clear that it did not go through another opening. In other words, when under observation, electrons are more or less being forced to behave like particles instead of waves. Thus, the mere act of observation affects the experimental findings. To demonstrate this phenomena, the Weizmann Institute built a tiny device, less than 1 micron in size, that had a barrier with 2 openings. Then they sent a current of electrons through the barrier. The observer in this experiment was not human. Instead, they used a tiny electron detector that could spot the presence of passing electrons. The quantum observer's capacity to detect electrons could be altered by changing its electrical conductivity or the strength of the current passing through it. Apart from observing or detecting the electrons, the detector had no effect on the current. Even so, The scientists found that the very presence of the detector observer near one of the openings caused changes in the interference pattern of the electron waves passing through the openings of the barrier. In fact, this effect was dependent on the amount of observation. When the observer's capacity to detect electrons increased, in other words, when the level of observation went up, the interference weakened. In contrast, when its capacity to detect electrons was reduced and the observation slackened, the interference increased. Thus, by controlling the properties of the quantum observer, the scientists managed to control the extent of its influence on the electron's behavior. Wow, a lot of information. So I'm going to do my best to kind of break this down a bit more and then again tie it to this idea of thought. So essentially, quantum mechanics is all about understanding how these atomic and subatomic particles are behaving, how they interact with each other in the environment. And it's all around this concept of observation. So when an observer is measuring a particle, what they found is that instead of behaving like a wave, which is expected, it starts to behave like a particle. And so this is kind of seen as, instead of like a wave-like up and down motion, it's moving straight as a particle would do rather than a wave. And this is all because of the presence of an observer. And I shared the details of the experiment that was conducted because I think it's really helpful to understand how they created this observer effect. So they essentially just had this tiny device that was just an electron detector, and all it could do is spot the presence of passing electrons. And they're able to change the capacity of detection by altering the electrical conductivity or the strength of the current passing through it. But this current doesn't affect the particles that are being used in the experiment. It's only for this detector. So by increasing its capacity to observe the electrons, what they found is that as the level of the observation went up, the interference weakened. So that means it was behaving less like a wave and more as a particle. But when the observation slackened, so when that was turned down, when the electrical conductivity was turned down, the interference increased. So it started behaving more like a wave. And so the result of this was that by controlling the amount of observation this detector is able to do, the scientists were able to control the extent of the influence on the electron's behavior. So simply by changing the amount of quote-unquote observation that this detector was able to do, it was changing the behavior of the particles. So when I think about this research as it relates to thought, let's consider our attention as the observer. So our attention is what is observing the particle, which in this case is thought. When we are giving our attention to a thought very strongly, when we're just continually, you know, like focusing on this idea or image or vision that's in our mind, we are effectively, from this perspective, we're increasing the level of observation on that thought. So when that happens, from my perspective, our entire focus becomes very much centralized on that idea or that thought. And so everything else just kind of fades into the background. We're having that laser-like focus, and that thought starts becoming very, very real. And we feel the effects of that thought suddenly in the body, because we've given it so much of our observation or our focus. Our attention is being given to that thought. But when we release our focus, when we start sort of zooming out and we allow the thoughts to flow, all of a sudden, because our attention is being released, thoughts are behaving like waves. They just flow. They flow by. It's not getting that laser-like attention, and therefore, the effect that we're feeling is not based on anything, any thought. It's just this peace. And I'd like to pull in a couple of wisdom quotes. So Buddha said in the Dhammapada, we are what we think. So it's the same concept of when the thought is being given our full attention, we become that. We are that. We are what we think. So that thought has a way of, with our attention, creating our current reality. So reality is very much about how we're experiencing the thought. In the same way, the article mentions, you know, when you see a bird or a tree, you believe that it will stay the same. But if you consider instead that the time and manner that you looked at a particular bird would affect its appearance. So it's like you can have the same thought, but if you're having that thought at a very different time in your life when you've had all these other experiences, the way that you're experiencing that thought is going to be different. And this is more aligned with what the quantum mechanics is telling us. It's not, things are not experienced in the same way when conditions change. And so the condition that's also changing is the strength of our attention. And let's pair that with the Zen wisdom of the great Bodhidharma. So Bodhidharma said, a clear mind is the Buddha. So while we recognize that we are what we think, if instead we're not thinking anything, we're in the Zen state of no mind, which is no thought, then this is Buddha. This is peace. This is freedom. And it's all because our attention is now no longer laser focused. It's just zoomed out. It's relaxed. Thoughts are flowing by. We're not logged into anything. And therefore, we are unaffected by any of those passing thoughts. Our disinterestedness is liberating. So I'm having the feeling to share from my latest book, Finding Freedom Where You Are. And that phrase that I used, disinterestedness liberates, is in the book. And I'd like to do a quick search to perhaps share that section. And just typing it in. Okay, there we go. So this is from page 38 in the ebook, and it's in the summary page, key ideas about the mind. And this summary is in two sentences about disinterestedness, but I'm going to actually read the whole page. So these are the key ideas. The body is a reflection of the mind. So the experience that we're having in the body is a reflection of the thought that's getting our attention. And the mind is a collection of thoughts experienced one at a time. Your attention and belief give power to thoughts. So when you are not interested in a thought, it cannot affect you. Disinterestedness liberates. The Zen state of no mind is the experience of the infinite state of peace prior to thought. This is freedom. So when we recognize that the mind is equal to our current thought, then we know that the thought that's getting our attention is affecting what we're experiencing in the body. And we know that the mind, even though it is this collection of thoughts, it's being experienced one at a time. And so when we're giving our attention and belief to a thought, it's giving the thought power. This is the same in quantum physics as observing it. It's the observer effect. But when we're not interested in a thought, when that observation starts to slacken, it cannot affect you. It just flows like a wave. And in this way, disinterestedness liberates. And very much like the wisdom of Bodhidharma, a clear mind is the Buddha, this last sentence is, you know, the Zen state of no mind is the experience of the infinite state of peace prior to thought. This is freedom. So if we transport ourselves and imagine that we're just in the space between your last thought and your next thought, the space of no thought, no mind, this is actually an infinite state. There's no beginning or end to the state itself. We're only shifting out of this infinite state by giving attention to thought. And I was reading something else in quantum, about quantum physics, and it was, we could say that objective reality is formless. Only when observed by the mind, there is form. So this idea of objective reality, a reality, is formless. So this infinite state of no mind has no form. But as soon as a thought is observed by the mind, there's form. So something takes shape. It's this transition from the infinite to this finite form, which is the thought. But if we recognize that, we have this great opportunity to release our attention from it, to loosen this observation of the thought. And when we're uninterested in it, then we're free of it. So it doesn't matter what's arising. If it's not getting our focused attention, it has no effect. So in this way, we can recognize this, you know, this quantum mechanics and the science of it. Recognizing that the act of observation alters the behavior of the particles being observed, we recognize that we have the same power, the power of our attention. When we are giving our attention to something, it's becoming form. It gets powered by our attention and belief. But our opportunity to be free of it is to simply be disinterested. Return to that formless, infinite state. This is the Zen state of no mind. In this way, we have a clear mind, and our experience is freedom. And of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.